message I'm going to share with you today was a message that I preached at Jesus Camp on Tuesday night. The message was entitled, Jesus is Our Identity. We're going to be in Colossians. We're living in a day and age that's very confused of what their identity is, who they are. And one of the greatest injustices that are going on is that many people think that they identify with who they are based upon their feelings, how they feel, or what they think that they are. Well, the sad thing is, the Bible tells us that the heart of mankind is desperately wicked. Oh, we don't like to hear that, do we? And so do the feelings and emotions come from that broken part of who we are. And unfortunately, even though emotions have been running high today here, wouldn't you agree? There's just a flood of a mixture of things going on. And sometimes we want to approach the throne of God and say, God, I just don't feel like being here. I'm not feeling it today. I woke up this morning, can I tell you, I just wasn't feeling it. I was like, man, Lord, I'm wore out. In fact, I even feel kind of bad that I'm bringing another message to you that's a leftover. But yet, when it comes from God, it's never a leftover, right? So I want you to know that I wasn't being lazy this week, okay? I am not being lazy by bringing you a message from Jesus Camp. But you weren't there to hear it, so I thought, let's run this thing again. But it keeps growing, doesn't it? It just keeps growing when God gets a hold of it. But I want you to know something today. How you feel does not identify who you are. Now, I'm gonna cover a broad spectrum. I didn't do this with the kids. I wanted to, but can I tell you that there's a lot of influencers and things that are going on online and media that your kids are watching on TikTok and all these other medias that they use that people are confusing your children and your grandbabies? You need to be vehemently involved in what they're looking at if you can. If you can't, find a way to talk about those things with your kids. But there are people that get on there and they're called furries. They think they're animals. Now you would think that, well, you know, the little kids and my granddaughter, she likes to act like a cat. And it's hilarious. She's got it down pretty good. But her mama drives her up a wall and says, you're not a cat. Knock it off. So sometimes we play. Those things are in their imagination. But you get on media, and there's adults that should know better that are living in a fantasy world and want to present it as reality. Even in this sexual idea that I can be whatever I want to be sexually, no matter what God's plumbing is that He put it within me. Folks, we've got a problem when they live in a fantasy world that is not reality. And then they want to force us to accept a lie for the truth. It's confusing our children. And it's to the point that they don't know who to identify themselves with. Is it any wonder? It's confusing for us as adults to navigate, much less a young, impressionable, molded mind. Folks, as believers, you need to know who you are. Not a fantasy, not what you've made up. Do you realize that Israel, for a time, we're serving idols instead of God? Do you realize that Israel got so dark at one time that they were sacrificing their children to Moloch? It was a great big idol, and his hands would hold out like this. He's made out of metal, and they would place their babies into the arms. You know what was underneath the arms? Was a raging fire underneath it, and they would burn their children to this false god. The nation of Israel, the nation of God, that was called of God. They forgot who they were. They were in an identity crisis and unfortunately brought great suffering and even discipline upon them as God corrected them and sent them into captivity. How sad that is. But folks, as God's people, we must know who we are. Amen? There's a lot of things that identify us, isn't there? Now, in this slide presentation, I didn't bring it up for you. I didn't want to be too kiddified. But I said for the Jesus Camp, I had pictures of a police officer. And I asked, oh, well, who is this? Oh, it's a police officer. Well, how do you know that? Well, they're wearing a badge. They got the uniform. They got the gun. Yes, they have all those things that we correlate to a police officer. Then I showed the next one. It was a fireman. Like, well, how do you know that's a fireman? What, the coat, the badge? Where's the badge? It's on their helmet. Oh, that's okay, good. You know, they're all paying attention. And then I got to a few sports figures, and of course, they all knew those. And I got a picture of a fan. Like, so this is this a professional athlete? No, that's just a fan. It was a little girl. She's maybe 7 or 8 years old in a carnal uniform. And one of my favorites is that I can remember watching a football game, and it was in the winter, and there was snow on the field, and they begin to pan over the bleachers, and there was a group of guys out there rooting their team on, no shirt, completely painted blue. I don't remember what the team was, and they were rooting their team on in the middle of winter with no shirt on. That's dedication. That's a fan. That's the kind of fan you want on your side, right? But they knew who they were. They knew the team they identified with. And you know what? They wanted everybody else to know the team that they were rooting for, right? These guys we would call radical, right? Admit it. That's pretty wild. But there's no question who their dedication was to. Am I right? We may kind of laugh and chuckle at that and say, but you know what? I'd like for them to be my fan. How about you? Because that's the real deal. Amen? Now look, I'm not asking Lindsay Lane to run out here and paint ourselves blue and run through fluorescent. That's not the identity we're talking about. Well, we're going to get to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, and we're going to find out what is that identity as believers. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Heavenly Father, we ask the blessing of the reading of your word. Your Spirit will guide us in the understanding and the application of your word. Lord, just use me as your mouthpiece today and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We identify in verse 1, my main thought, I was at who I have become. Okay? Who I have become. That's verse 1. The main thought I want us to see is that we identify with Christ by the new life that we live. As a child of God, we will live different. We will be different. We will sound different. Now here's something he says. If then you were raised, he's asking a question. If you were raised with Christ, have you truly been saved? That's what he's asking. If you truly have the life of God within you. Now, you know, sometimes a lot of people talk about religion and doing religious things, but the drawing, dividing line is, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Has he forgiven you? And has he given you spiritual life that we actually see spiritual fruit? Some of the scribes, the Pharisees, came to John the Baptist and said, who gives you the authority to do this thing? Well, said, did you not know that Isaiah had spoken of me, that I would come, one crying out in the wilderness, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, so now he has scriptural authority. He has God's authority. And they said, well, who gives you the right to baptize? Well, maybe we should be baptized. And he says, no, go back and then bring back to me fruits of salvation. Give me evidence, right? And some of them think, well, you got no right to ask me. Well, of course we do. If we are as pastors going to encourage you to come to a genuine faith, not religion, then do we not want to see evidence of the Spirit living in and through you? The answer is yes. Now, so often people think that, well, you want to judge me. It's not a judging, but it's a discerning of the Spirit. Amen? We're not judging. We're inspecting fruit. And that's what Jesus told us in a parable. Inspect the fruit. Those that are alive will bear fruit. Those that are not will not. Why? Because this is a spiritual reality that has taken place. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek those things that are a newness of life. The soul will attain to the highest of blessings of the Lord Jesus in his life. He will be seeking him in all things, not just a few things, but there is a complete change. Now, in Colossians 3 in verse 9 and 10, we kind of go down and he describes it even more detail. He says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." Now look at this as how that we identify. First of all, we put off the old man. That's that the Greek translation of that is as if we take off a dirty shirt. Man, we had more rain this year at church camp, and there's the biggest mess of muddy kids that you've ever seen. We don't, when it rains, we don't just stay inside. We just put on our older, dirty clothes and go out and play in the rain. And man, talk about a muddy mess. There's a lot of shirt changing that was going on before worship that night. The same way as we die to our old life, we die to the sinful, we take it off, throw it aside. We're not wearing that anymore. Why? Because God has given us the righteousness of Christ and has put the righteousness of Jesus upon us. And so that identifying marker is that, as he says, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Folks, today we have people that profess that I am a Christian, but yet they do not live, talk, or walk like Jesus. Where's the problem? It's not God. It's not God's word. Someone needs to come to a genuine salvation. Again, we are inspecting fruit. Maybe we are a child of God. Maybe we have trusted it. Maybe we have just simply lost our way. And as Israel was, we've forgotten who we are. But we grow in knowledge. Folks, that's why we have Bible study. That's why we gather together and have Sunday school. That's why we come for the preaching of the word. We must grow in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We must know who Jesus is before we can follow who Jesus is. We must know the sport color before we paint ourselves completely blue. How inconvenient if we paint ourselves up of the opposite team. And then I want to root for my team, but I'm the wrong painted color. Now this has nothing to do with race, but what I've painted myself to be. Am I really identifying with the one that has loved me and died for me? Amen? So that identification happens that at the time of salvation, we have died to self. You know, sometimes we want to stop and say, well, you know, I kind of want to do things my way. I kind of want to do this and that. And, you know, I want to go and I want to worship when I want to. You know, sometimes it's just kind of inconvenient to try to get everybody together and out the door, et cetera, et cetera. And we talk about all these things, but yet when it comes to that I have been forgiven of my sin, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Do you know why you're new? Because you died. In Romans chapter 6, we have died with him, and those who have died with him will also be resurrected with him. We rejoice in the new life, don't we? But we forget that we died to the old life. Amen? That's the identifying marker, is that we died. How many of you have ever seen a will? Yeah. I've even helped parents make up one. I've walked through the process. But you know what? That will means nothing. It has no power, no authority as long as they're alive. But when they die, that will is in full force. Attributed by law, attributed by every request that is in there, it now has all authority, but not until they die. The Lord's will and testament for you is that you die and he gives you new life, and then you live in that new life. Amen? So not only did that will bring us hope, bring us life, bring us spiritual life, bring us a new identity, but it brought us a new walk of life. We identify by the new life that we live. We identify with the power of Christ that is working in and through us. Secondly, who I am now. Verses 2 and 4 gives us that understanding that that's who we have become. We've become a new creature. Now, who it is that I am now. Verses 2 through 4, he says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Our identity is seen by what we do. Not just what we are, but what we do. He tells us, set your mind on things above. Now, I kind of went into Romans chapter 8, verse 5, to kind of add to this. Romans 8, and verse 5. He says, for those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the... They mind the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the... Who are you paying attention to? What are you thinking on? What are you meditating on? You know, something I've been kind of teasing some of those that I've been leading and encouraging. These things can be very helpful and very distracting all at the same time. I shared with some of you that at Jesus Camp, we had about 15 salvations in the kiddie camp. And then in teen camp, the report that I got was 3 salvations in teen camp. I don't know about you, but that's some exciting stuff. But you know what a lot of it is that we attribute it to? Is that we take the phones out of their hands. Now, for some of them, it's a terrifying thing. I got to meet one of the students that I had years ago, and she's actually got kids of her own and a family of her own. And years ago, when I was pastoring at Ozark Heights, we went to church camp, and she didn't want to give up her phone. And I said, everybody else has given up their phone. It will be held by your sponsor. If you need to call mom and dad, then you can call mom and dad. Well, she was mad. You're not taking my phone. And I said, well, then you can go home and talk to your dad about it, because I already had a conversation with them. And she said, well, I think I will. And she got so mad, she left church camp, left Jesus camp, and went home mad. Well, it was kind of ironic, because when she got home, she got grounded for arguing with her pastor, and she got her phone taken away when she got home. You know, at first you would think that, well, she's just so angry at me. But you know what? She still calls me her pastor even today. Years later, she's got her own family, and she has her own pastor. But she looks back at that, and we think, if we can just get these things out of our hands and saturate those kids with God's word, then we see God work. Amen? Sometimes we need to allow God to work in and through us and realize who we are so that we can get our hearts and our minds focused on what it is that He wants us to see and most of all to hear and follow. And so if we set our mind on those things that are of heaven, we find that our feelings and emotions can wander from one thing to another. Our desires can wander from one thing to another. But God's Word keeps us grounded in who we are. It gives us an anchoring point. Folks, this is one of those things that when we talk about who I am now, I think we get wrapped up in Hollywood. We get wrapped up in media. We get wrapped up in our society, and we forget that we were never meant to blend in. It was never our calling to look like everyone else around us. We have been called to be a peculiar people. Do you know what peculiar means? You're weird. I'm not exaggerating. That's what it means. You are weird. You know, I've been called that a lot of times when I was a kid growing up, and it really just broke my heart because I didn't want to be that weird kid because they always made fun of them. But you know what? When I surrendered to Jesus, I realized I look a lot different. I'm going to talk a lot different. And so often I can remember going through the 80s at all. The church has to be relevant. You got to be relevant. My friend, can I tell you something? We don't need to be relevant to the world. We need to be relevant to Christ. And we lift up Jesus, and He will draw all men to Himself, as He said. The relevancy comes that when we identify with the one who died for us, saved us, and has given us life, and you will look weird. But I like the King James better. Peculiar. You're a peculiar people. You're as lively stones when we remember who we are. And so as we see in the scriptures, He says, our identification comes from what we do. As we set our mind on heavenly things, we look to the Lord for His strength. We look to the Lord for the blessings that He gives. Let me give you, in verse 3, He uses a phrase that we are, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Let me give you three thoughts on this. First of all, believers, we have a common spiritual life with the Father and with the Son. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he says, as His divine power is given to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly. Do you see what the scriptures are trying to say? You can't measure this. You can't put this in a measure cup. You can't load this in a pickup truck. There's nothing big enough to hold this. It's going to be more than you can call for, more than you ask for. It will always be an overabundance. It will be over the top. You're going to look even more different than the guy painted blue in the middle of winter rooting his team on. There's going to be so much more radical that is waiting for you to be poured upon you. Exceedingly great and precious promises that through these, have you seen all that He's provided to you, child of God? I'm going to digress for just a minute. I can remember one time that we were having a pep rally for our team in high school. Boy, they had really got to a point and getting close to going to state. And I thought, oh man, that's exciting. And so we're going to have a pep rally. And when we got to the pep rally, they were handing out little pom-poms and all kinds of signs. And number one, Union High School, da-da-da-da. I was like, oh, I want one of these. I want one of these. Take as many as you want. We got so many. We were excited about identifying with our school as an exciting time. But oh, how small of an illustration that is of what God has opened the storehouses of heaven and all of these things that pertain to life. Too often we think we're just trying to get by. Too often we think that we're just fans in the stage, on the side of the stage, thinking, oh, I wish I could get involved. My friend, we're not spectators. We're actually on the field playing in the life that He has given us. But He gives us all that we need that pertain to life and godliness. We're not just trying to struggle along. We've been given in excess all that we need to identify successfully for Christ, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of what? The divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. We now have the opportunity to partake in the glorious, heavenly, divine nature of Christ. That is how people will know and identify who you are, when you look and sound like Jesus. Secondly, the world cannot understand all that has been given and has happened and changed in a believer's life. Now, you know, as youth, I was challenging them because they are challenged in the world that they're growing up in. But honestly, folks, I think as adults, we need to remember that we need to be an example. They're not going to understand all that we do. They're not going to understand why we give the commitment that we do to the Lord's church. They're not going to understand why we put things aside and even inconvenience ourselves in so many different ways to follow Christ. But don't give up. Don't be discouraged by that. We're not here to please our friends. We're here to please Christ. Amen? And if we got people that are drawing us away, then we need to lock in. We need to pray for them and encourage them to come back. You know, John told us, beloved, we're children of God. It's not been yet revealed what we will be, but we all know that we will be like Him. Folks, we're starting that now. Amen? We're not just waiting for the end. We're doing that now to live like Him. Because in that last part, He said, everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself as he is pure. It is by nature that we want to live like Christ. And then the third is that we are kept in Him. We are eternally secure in Christ. We are eternally secure in Christ. Jesus told us, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And He goes on even farther and says, even my Father, they are in my Father's hand, and no one will take them out of His hand. Now, it's almost as if Jesus sets a distinction that, well, for in Jesus' hands, it's not as good as being in the Father's. But what he's showing is that when we follow Scripture, we find that we are under the blood of Christ, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and then we are held securely in the Father's hand. The Trinity has all of their parts upon our soul in the salvation process, and there is no way that any of that can be undone, unsecured, dismissed, forgotten, or lost. Our identity is secured in the perfect salvation plan of redemption that God has planned, carried out, and completed. Amen? Verse 4, he says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The glory that we identify with will be a manifestation when he arrives. Now think of this for a moment. First of all, when he appears, it is his return. Right now we live in a world that no one sees him, no one knows him. Even we, the scripture says, we love him even though we do not physically see him, but we know that he is, and we know that he's coming back. Amen? There's no doubt in our minds. There's no doubt in our hearts. We see it in the Word. We feel it stirring in our spirit. We know that he's coming back. We know that he's going to return. But here's the reality. We know that we will share in that glory. What does that mean? That when Jesus appears, we will be changed. We will receive our glorified body. But more than that, it becomes a public recognition is that we have been telling you all along, and now you see as he has changed me and I'm splitting the sky wide open in the rapture that I am truly identified with him because I'm going home. Amen? Are you folks ready for that day? Folks, that identification that happens in such a glorious way is happening today in the pew where you sit. Do you understand that? That same glorious reality is going on right now as we surrender to the Lord, as we share with our friends, as we challenge others to come to know and identify with the Lord Jesus, not a religion, but to identify with Christ. Secondly, this is a personal participation. Only because of Jesus, only because of the life that he has given us, will we also share in the splendor, in the glories, in the blessings, in the presence of God the Father. We will share in this glory with him because we are a people of Christ. When we identify with Christ, we will be a people of faith, a people of prayer, a people of worship, a people of hope, and a people of glory. Do you understand that, folks? When we identify with Christ, this is who we are because of who he has made us to be. My last thought is 1 Colossians 3, 8 through 9, who I am not. Often we're identified with what we don't do, amen? Especially today. When we refuse to walk with the world, we identify with Christ. But he says in verses 8 and 9, but now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another since you have put off the old man with its deeds. We are identified with Christ, but what we do not do. I want to ask you, what is the identifying factor in your life today? You know, sometimes we look around us and I give you those examples that if we truly identify with Christ, we're going to be a people of worship. That's why we come to worship the Lord today. Not only has he commanded us, but yet our hearts are drawn to bring him glory. Amen? Because that's who we are. That's the identifying reality of who we are. We're a people not only of worship, but we're a people of hope. We're a people of glory. And it changes all that we do. We come and that we build the kingdom of God and sometimes even turn our back on our own kingdom, right? It's going to look different, but yet it's a distinguishing marker of who we are. Can the community look at you and know that you're a follower of Christ without you telling them? Have you identified not just only with the Lord in salvation, but have you identified with him in baptism? Baptism is not a completion of salvation. Salvation is complete in and of itself by the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus, by us coming and confessing our sins to Him. He forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We ask Him to apply the salvation that He has provided to our lives. And once He has, one of those identifying markers is that we say, Lord, I want to follow You now, and I want to become a part of the body of Christ. And we do so by following the Lord in baptism. Can you identify with the Lord Jesus and by becoming a part of the body of Christ and joining His church? How is your identity? How is your identity? Is it legible? Can people read it? Do people see Jesus in you? Or do we have to say it with our mouth because our life is not proclaiming it? Let's bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, as we come to a close of this service, Lord, we thank You for the identity that You give us, an identity that will never ashamed, never fail, and never stop growing us into the image of Your Son, Jesus. What a glorious goal, what a lofty challenge for us to live in such a way that heaven has to reach down and give us blessing and strengthen us and guide us. Oh, Lord, where I've come from, what a great change, what a glorious reality. But Lord, may those that are around us see that change, see that conviction, see that reality as You continue to grow us in the Florissant area. Lord, may our identity be found in You, backed up with joy and excitement. May our identity in You be found with a hunger that will never be satisfied. Lord, I ask for Your blessing upon Your people. May we be found as the fans in our community, singing Your praise, following You, and obeying Your every word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.